You're listening to Sal and Soul Brothers and Sisters, Hump of the Week, 7 at 7. Archive interview with today's guest, Alison Keogh of Headcase Hair Salon.
Good evening, Sal and Soul Brothers and Sisters, and welcome to another edition of the Hump of the Week, 7 at 7. As you can see, I've taken myself off to the beautiful city of Dubai to meet an amazing hairdresser from Bray in County Wicklow, Alison Keogh. And hold on, just give me a second. My waiter's just arrived with me. It's 6 o'clock somewhere in the world. It's 8 o'clock here, actually. So listen, I'm waiting for Alison to come along, and I'll tell you a little bit about Alison. Works in a salon called Headcase. Now, the salon is based in a lovely, trendy area of Dubai. Alison is 10 years out here in Dubai. She's 4 years in business, but she'll correct me if I'm wrong there. She runs a lovely team with her partner in business, Tracy, and they have a team of 10. So I'm just waiting for Alison to come along. No sign of her yet. I wonder if she's coming along. I'll just sit here and wait.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Oh, there you are.
Hi,
Alison. Great to see you. Yeah. Just filling in everybody a little bit about you. That you came through the Peter Mark ranks, you've qualified as a stylist there. What would we say, 28 years ago?
Feels about 48. How am I now? Qualified about 23 years ago, yeah.
You took yourself off to the terrible climate of Dubai.
I know, God love me.
And it's absolutely beautiful evening here, isn't it, in Dubai, you know?
Yeah, but I nearly need a cardigan now. I need to go and get my cardigan out.
I don't know. I'm hearing me short sleeve short and everything, you know? So
just get cold, believe it.
It's just great to have you. And we have to thank the amazing Andrew Dunn for hooking us up, you know? Because Andrew says, this lady, Greg, won't let you down. She's got a great story to tell. And we're really, really looking forward to hearing it, because I just think anybody that takes the trade off around the world, generally most Irish people that do it, really do have good, successful careers, which I don't know whether it's something in the water that we have in Ireland that makes these great stylists that travel well internationally. But we're going to find out as we get into your 7 at 7. So will we kick off?
Absolutely. Come on.
Well, let's kick off with the first question, Alison, is why did you choose hairdressing as a career?
Well, Greg, I just never wanted to do anything else. It's just what I wanted to be from a very young age. I vividly remember being at home in the house in Bray, blow drying tiny tears the doll and burning the head off her. I vividly remember it like I was probably about 7 or 8. And then it's just in me from that age, really, that I wanted to be in the hairdressing industry. There was no doubt about it.
No hairdressing in the background or anything, no family in hairdressing?
My aunt was a hairdresser, and she used to come through all like every couple of months and do my mum's perm. And, you know, a perm and a set and, you know, stink the house out. And like, so definitely would have been influenced by her for sure. But It was just in me. I just wanted to be a hairdresser.
You know? And did your mom and dad think of when you wanted to be a hairdresser? Did they give you the support or?
In all honesty, my mom passed when I was 15. Oh. Now I knew that she knew that I wanted to be a hairdresser, but would say very little about it. You know, I think they wanted me to go down the academic road. My parents did, and I was bright in school. I wasn't a complete dumbass, but I had no choice. I just wanted to do hair, even in like doing hair in school on lunch breaks. I was doing blow dry at the end of the classroom, you know. So that was kind of where I wanted to be, and I fought tooth and nail to get there, you know.
Is it that's a really interesting point that you said there about your mom passing at 15? Yeah. Because I just read a book called The Talent Code.
Yeah,
you say that sometimes people need practice. One of the main things is nobody's born naturally talented. Everybody needs practice. It's practice that it's just that if you're passionate about something, you'll practice it more. But they also said you need something, ignitions, they call them. And they said children who've lost a parent relatively young in their life have gone on statistically to be very successful at what they choose. Yeah. 15 prime ministers in England, Bill Clinton, you know what I mean? A series of actors, you list them all off and you kind of go, wow, to anybody out there, that they you'd kind of go, right, well then, the old way we probably would have said, well, that's my mom looking down on me or my dad looking down on me. But do you feel that that was an ignition that makes that person go, well, you know, I've had probably one of the worst kicks you can ever get in life is to lose a parent. Nothing else. Yeah. No, there's nothing worse. I can push myself on. And it seems they've given them great drive to do, you know, and it's scientifically proven, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with that. But I also think it's kind of a, like, for me personally, it's kind of like, yeah, the rest of the family are all academics. You know, my sister's a scientist, my brother's an accountant, and I was never going to be anything if I was a hairdresser. Now, no one actually ever said that to me.
And where are you in the chain of children?
I'm the baby, the little
one. Right. Well, the other statistic they said is that the youngest person of a family is usually the most tenacious to achieve, to get to where they want to get. Because in order to keep up, they've always had to run faster. They've always had to try and keep up with the other siblings. And that's another stat. So you're falling lovely into it. It's like I'm describing the talent code here.
It was just like if I keep at it, and like I knew how happy doing hair made me.
Yeah.
And if I remove everything else and I just keep doing hair and focusing on what I want to be, everything else will fall into place, hopefully, you know?
And then your journey through, we were talking earlier off camera, then your journey through a couple of small salons, and then you landed in Peter Mark and Bray, was it?
Peter Mark and Cornell's Court and Bray. Court.
I went out there when I was on my graduation course one day. He said, get a taxi out to Cornell's Court and cut hair.
Yeah.
You could barely
cut hair. And then I finished up actually down in Arklow. So I worked in Peter Mark Arklow for 5-6 years before I left Ireland, and that for me was the best job ever. Oh my god, it was the business. I loved working down there, and I still to this day have fond memories of working in Petermark and Arklow.
You had a couple of competitions while you were in Petermark then as well. So in the Arklow salon.
Yeah. So in the Arklow salon, no, I don't think I did. When I was in Cornell's Court, I was, you know, dipping in a bit here and there. I, you know, came away with a couple of trophies.
Yeah. Peter Mark in-house competitions were really competitive. It was a great bit of fun. It was always a great bit of fun. As I always say, our memories of Peter Mark will always be fond because it's a great company to work in.
I'd have nothing bad to say about the company. I really wouldn't. I had great times there, and I got the best training as well.
Yeah, I think we all can hold our hands up there and say we left far better ready for our next step of our career. Which brings me on to, as you traveled and you moved to Dubai then, okay, you worked in a couple of salons, as you said, off screen. What then, moving on to number two, what made you, well, I think I want to own a salon. What made you think of that then? When did that come in?
I have absolutely no idea why I've done this. I think it's just a natural progression. Like I'm kind of 39 this year. I was obviously, you know, late 30s. I was like, you know, I've kind of been there, done that when it comes to hairdressing. I haven't been there, done that, but like I've been around the block a few times doing hair, you know? And I pretty much feel like I've honed the craft and I'm very confident in, you know, I've got this when it comes to doing hair. What's next? You know, like, is there something else? Now, my dream, and I dabbled a little bit in education with Peter Mark before I left Ireland. My dream is to get back into that as I get older. I don't ever want to leave the salon as such, you know. But at the same time, I kind of had this thing in the back of my head all the years. I was like, I have to have a salon before I can really teach the next generation how to be the new hairdressers. You know what I mean? I just felt like, it was just a natural progression, getting older. This is something that I think I want. You know, let's just
get yourself and Tracy working in the same salon at the time.
Yeah, so Tracy was the girl that I started working with 10 years ago when I came to Dubai. She rocked up to the salon one day and I was like, right, you're my new best friend. And that's the end of it, because she's from Roscommon in Ireland. So once she was Irish, that's it, you know, blue, brilliant. Yeah, your new pal, yeah. And then I had said, I'd been kind of picking at her for a couple of years, you know, let's open our own, like, let's do our own thing. Bearing in mind, we were working in and, you know, it was just like, we're ticking along, but like, you know, come on, let's do it. And she took a couple of years of me, you know, come on, Trace. And then one day she's just like, right, Al, I'm ready to go, let's do it. And then we started working on it. And it actually all kind of came together quite quickly. Within a year, we managed to find our space, get our, like, over here, there's a lot of licensing, a lot of paperwork. It wouldn't be anything like it is at home, I'd say. It's just quite complicated. You have to get a sponsor, but local sponsor. So to do all of that kind of took around about 11 months, and then the doors were open and that was it. Here we are 3 years later.
And your team, is there any locals in Dubai, or is everybody an expat, like, you know?
We definitely be considered an expat salon as such. We do have quite a considerable local clientele for the type of salon that we are. Like, we're pretty much colour specialists, colour and cutting specialists, you know. So we do have considerable local clientele, but it would be mostly expats, you know, Irish, British, you know, the Scots, the Americans, Europeans, you know. It's just mostly expats, but we do have locals. We have locals for sure.
And as you were saying off camera, like, your salon isn't main. It isn't what you'd say in a shopping centre or a precinct or a high street. No. So how do you find you getting your name out there? Obviously, clients who leave are happy, recommend other clients. But I've looked at earlier on, you have a lovely Instagram page, Hair by Snowflake.
That's my own individual page, but yeah. Salon Headcase with a K.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
My main job in the salon is I do all the social media for the salon. And probably out of myself and Tracy, I'm the one who probably gets a kick out of social media. For me, it's a case of it's your shop window nowadays, yeah. In 2021. So when say young 21-year-old wants, I want to go and I want to get a nice blonde balayage, or I want a nice brunette bob, they will go onto Instagram or they'll go onto Facebook. Facebook is much bigger in Ireland than it is here. Mm. Instagram is huge here.
I know Instagram would be the number one when it comes to air industry now as a platform to promote the salon.
Definitely. Even in Ireland,
Facebook would be social. There is people, and I would find an older client. Most of our older clients are on Facebook, which is probably me. And the reason we do this through Facebook is because the people who advise me said, for this medium, works better through Facebook than it does Instagram. And I kind of salon has a Facebook page, so we'll use it, you know, for that, you know.
It's funny because we do Instagram and Facebook, but when it comes to interaction, all the interaction from Dubai is on Instagram. But when people are interacting with us from Ireland, it's on Facebook.
All right, yeah, and they're coming out from...
That's where I get the vibe from is that it's not as big in Ireland. Well, I could be totally wrong, but over here, Instagram is the way forward.
No, it's definitely. I think with an age, I think anybody below 40 would definitely be more Instagram. Anybody over 40 is still with Facebook.
Still on Facebook. They're on
everywhere, you know what I mean? TikTok, even TikTok, I've given it all a go at this stage, you know what I mean?
Oh, we do that as well.
Have you tried Clubhouse?
Oh, don't tell me there's another one.
But Clubhouse is just literally no visual. It's just people having conversations in a room.
Okay.
And it could be whatever. So it could be subjects from all over the world, any description, political or whatever. And then you just try and find some hair ones and you jump in and you can join in the conversation. Okay. I've joined it, but I haven't had time to go on to one. You know, because we're all saying, like, your phone tells you you've run out of time today now on your social media, get off.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to say, I have to break it down into what's important and what's not important. So I'm kind of watching that space, Clubhouse, and seeing where it's gone. And and taking feedback, but I don't want to immerse myself in or I'll have no family.
Yeah, in all honesty, like when you do social media for and we're just a small business, like it's a necessary evil in many ways. It can be a bit overwhelming some days, you know, where you're just like we're constantly on it. We're stories all day, every day. We do everything from the we're famous for our before and afters, you know, we take a picture before and then we do an after. But we also try and represent the team, and like we want you to know who we are in the salon as well. And we do the like the outtakes of the crack going on in the staff room. Like Claudia the other day was jigging around the staff room because she was cold, you know, and like just like there's crack going on in the salon. And we put that up because we want people to know that when you come into our space, that this is who you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a great way for people to go, they look really nice, those girls, actually, let's go and get my hair done. They also do really good hair, a bit of crack coffee.
Yeah, I think I've noticed that you're the second salon owner that has kind of come across that they want the personality of the people in there to shine out.
Yeah.
Off, like, in other words, we are great at hair.
Yeah.
But we also, you can have a bit of fun and a bit of laugh, and a bit of humor. Yeah. Because it kind of probably, maybe for big corporate companies, you have to stick to a tight line. It's like wearing black. All of a sudden, hairdressers all over the world, everybody's wearing black.
Yeah.
Going, God, when did that creep in? Like, I'll start dressing like Undertakers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You have a wardrobe full of black, but what I've done with their guys is I used to say to them, come the summer months, we relax it down, wear colour. Yeah. It's summer. We have to dress appropriately. But I can understand if you've got Peter Mark 70 salons, you have to have maybe a structure in, you know? So do you have a colour code within the salon or do you...
I think as hairdressers that have been programmed for the last 30 years, we tend to wear a lot of black.
Yeah.
But the great thing about like the industry these days is that you're definitely... Like that, like 20 years ago in Peter Mark, you wore black and you wore clothes, you know what I mean? You wore shoes. Whereas now, I express myself personally through my sneakers. I have a massive sneaker collection and I love them. And they're my thing that I am known for, I suppose, you know, that I always have a wild pair of sneakers on me. And we do allow the girls to wear whatever colour they want, but we all mostly wear black because it's colour friendly, right? So,
Yeah, I do say, I know I'm not, and then I look at my wardrobe and I go, have I got so much black stuff? I actually allow them wear the colour, and then they go, you allow them wear colour, and then you come in black.
We're just used to it. And it does look more professional, let's be honest. Like, it can look more professional than Morocco.
One of the things I was looking earlier on is pricing. You know what I mean? Because I was looking at your price list, and then I was looking at reflecting back to Ireland, and you just how you know when you open first. I'm going to go with the third question now. Is if you were to go back to when you opened the salon first, is there anything you would do differently? So did you feel when you opened first you had the pricing right? You knew exactly where you're coming. Is there a general standard that's the price in Dubai and that's what people pay, or is there a pricing level in Dubai?
Good question, Greg.
I'll break it down again.
Right, just to touch on one point that you made, to compare us to Ireland is the most frustrating part, I think, for us. When somebody moves over from Ireland and they compare the price of what they paid for a full head of Easy Mesh to what they paid for a full head of Easy Mesh in Dubai. Now, bear in mind, mesh non-existent over here. But you also, if you can try and imagine the rent that you pay in Ireland compared to the rent that I pay in Dubai.
Yeah.
It quadruples, you know? So our overheads over here would be a lot higher than what you would pay in Ireland. We have a lot more to think about when it comes to pricing and stuff like that. So from a business point of view, if I could charge people the prices that they would have paid with me in Ireland when I moved here, I mean, I would do it, but we wouldn't make a penny. We'd be at a loss straight away because of the rent, and the product is actually more expensive for us to buy. We're a Wella salon. I love Wella. But for us to pay the prices that they pay in Ireland, yeah, for sure, I could lessen my prices, but I pay more here.
Yeah, yeah.
So Staff is more expensive here as well. We have good hairdressers working for us as well. So everything's a higher price for us. Obviously reflects in our pricing. We are an expensive salon. We're known as, I would say we're probably some of the best colorists in the city. So you get what you pay for. When you're paying for my kind of knowledge to work on your hair, or my business partner, Tracy, if you're paying for her hairdressing brain, or any of the girls that work for me, actually, you're paying for me as well. Yeah. I have fountains of knowledge, and I'm confident, and I'm also a little bit cocky in how good I am at doing what I do. So if you want to have good hair and you want to feel good about yourself, well, then I'm worth the money.
Okay. Well, you probably find that the people who live there, work there, their income is relevant to living in Dubai.
Absolutely.
Well, probably tourists, yeah. You probably find, if you get the odd tourists coming in, that's coming in from the UK or Ireland, they're probably looking at the price and going, very expensive. But then when they go into a restaurant, they don't question the bill in the restaurant, you know, Dubai. So I tell you, I think this time around, though, with definitely in Ireland with the lockdown, I think hairdressers would be mad not to start pricing themselves accordingly, because people have said how much they miss going to the salon and how much they, you know, they value hairdressers now. So strike while the iron is hot, isn't it? So, but is there anything you'd look back on the salon when you open and say, we should have done that differently? Or do you think you've got it right because you've waited so long? Like it was just the perfect time and you've got everything right?
No, absolutely not. We didn't get everything right, but at the same time, I think it's only a mistake if you haven't learned from it, you know? So there was definitely things that we would, going back, we'd probably do it differently, but at the same time, it's kind of shaped us to where we are today, and myself and Tracy are tight. We know exactly what we're doing. We know exactly where we want to go and who we want to be as business owners and as a brand as such. So I wouldn't change anything, actually. No, because I kind of think learned from it the hard way in some aspects. But would I change it? No, I wouldn't.
Because I think in some cases some people feel that they, you know, I've done it. I should have got the business training, or I should have had more years behind me. But the fact that you didn't, you had a good chunk of experience behind you before you ever take that plunge. And I think that's probably something that we might see going forward, is that people to open a salon now, we really want to make sure they have everything behind them and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed to make sure that the business is sustainable. Because at the end of the day, you're putting other people's lives in your hands when you open a salon. Like the people that come to work for you, you know what I mean? You're responsible for their day-to-day living, and it's never been more challenging than the last year, for sure, you know?
100%. Luckily for me, I had Tracy, and Tracy has a business degree.
Ah, there you go.
Tracy was in business before she kind of joined the hairdressing later in life. So when it came to the business, now I'm probably a bit daft, to be honest with you. Let's be honest, yeah. But she has that brain that works that way when it comes to the finances and everything like that. So she's also, which is a great thing, she's a control freak in a good way. So she needs to know everything that's going on, and when it comes to the income, you know, the outgoings and income and stuff like that, she has it like documented down to how many pints of milk a day we go through. You know what I mean? It's just she has her ways. She has OCD. She's a control freak. I'm the complete opposite, but it works. It works completely. You know.
Yeah, sometimes I think that's what you need. You know what I mean? You need a good mixture. You know what I mean? Because maybe the creative side of that can be left with the business-minded person. And then the other person is going, no, we need it. And then I think it's just a blend, finding the right blend. And I think you found the right blend or the partner. And
honest to God, Greg, we are at the end of the day, we are best friends. Like so that was also a risk, kind of going into business together, but at the same, like, we did have a couple of hairy moments. It was one day outside the garden center on Shakeside Road, and I wanted to ring her neck and she wanted to ring mine, you know. But we had a conversation very early on that, look, if we get to this point where we're very frustrated and annoyed at each other, we're not going to let it go overnight. We're just going to have it out, whether that be kicking and screaming or whatever. Like, we'll just have it out. And we to actually, from that day, we've had a couple of hairy moments along the way because, you know, that's life. But we've never really fallen out because of anything since. You know, it just has to be, this is the way it is. You're yin, I'm yang. It just has to be that way. We have to communicate with each other and tell each other how we're feeling, or this is never going to work. And luckily, it's great now because we have a salon. We work together both full time in the salon, but we spend the weekends together at times too, because we love each other still, you know?
You met my wife there off camera, and anyway, and we met each other when we were trainees and being a mark, and we're telling people, go, how do you work together? I mean, it's just a brilliant business that we're in business together, but we spend most of the day talking to other people. Don't even talk to each other till you get home. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's part of it. Like, it's great if you find that person to share your business. Like, it's perfect. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you can have, when you're down, they can bring you up, and vice versa. And
it's so true. Like, our reactions to different things, like, they're so different. Like, she will react to something that I wouldn't even bat an eyelid at, like, oh, whatever, you know? And then the same goes with her. She'd like, you know, it's just, it's incredible how well it does work, but it does work.
I think that's the basis of most good business relationships, is understanding the strengths and weaknesses of each other and allowing them to flow with the flow of the salon, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So moving on then, we talk about what makes an amazing salon, now that you have had your own salon and worked in plenty of salons before that, what do you think the fundamental is of being a great salon, fantastic salon?
Warmth, being kind of have like a very warm, genuine respect for each other, like a kind of the whole mood of Headcase was like, you can come into the salon, you can be whoever you want to be, and we'll accept you. And we have a clientele that ranges from, like, there's, you know, from one extreme to the other. And, like, that's what I love about our salon, is that it does kind of attract the wacky people that I love doing. I love the, you know, the wild ones, love them, you know, whereas Tracy loves the natural balayage, and Lucy's very girly, and like, everything's beautiful and pretty and curly, you know. And then we've got Mad Clodagh from Dublin, who's just like, you know, she's crack at 90, she's mad, lovely, natural, beautiful colours. I just think staff wise from an owner point of view, I want the staff working for me to feel, first thing I want them to feel is that they have freedom, because I think that was probably one of the reasons why I left my previous salon. I worked in a salon previous to my own, which was great because I was self-employed, so I could come and go as I please. But the salon before that, I felt like I was being told what to do an awful lot. And as when you get to the age of 33, I think I was at the time, I was like, I don't want to be told what to do anymore. I don't want to have to sign in and sign out of the job that I'm going to. You know, I'm responsible. And I'm a grafter. I am Irish, so I'm a grafter. You know, there was never a target I missed, you know. So and then it was kind of right, I need to be self-employed. And then when I was poached from that salon to go to the next one, it was like freedom. I loved it. I was like, and the funny thing is, when I was given the freedom, I actually never worked harder. I worked even harder than before, because I was like, The more you reap, the more you sow, right? So the more I did, the more financially I earned, bearing in mind aiming to open my own salon. So it was like, this is brilliant. And I also love doing hair, you know? So I just like, oh yeah, I'll stay late and do that for you. No problem. Yeah, grand, you know, just grafter. And that's what I want my girls to feel. I want them to feel like we have got a self-employed structure. So the girls do work purely on commission. But at the same time, myself and Tracy are there if they need anything emotionally or creatively in the salon. We're both great hairdressers, that, you know, we're there for them if they need anything. But you're free to be yourself within these walls. So
is it kind of like a rent-a-chair? Or
Yeah, they work purely on commission. So it's not like they give me a flat rate every month, but they get paid purely on commission. So if they're not there, they don't get paid. But when they are there, the harder they work, the more they get, you know?
Yeah, and it's the way the world is changing now, that people want a little bit more control over their own time as well. Like if you think back to Airday and Peter Mark, it was, do you remember, if you could, don't ask for holidays for 5 weeks of the year, which was the bank holiday weekends. Nobody could take holidays then. Don't ever ask for a Saturday off unless somebody's died. Somebody's
and if you take the Saturday, you take the whole week. Yeah,
that was it. You had to take your week's holiday. Yeah, yeah, that was it. You know, and I think definitely the feel from us here in Ireland is that people don't want to go back to that. You know what I mean? And I think people's shopping habits have changed. People's maybe realize that I don't want to waste my Saturday getting my hair done when I'm off. Maybe I could just go on Monday night. Because I know it's that Friday is your Sunday, isn't it?
Friday is our Friday and Saturday slightly different. So Sunday is our Monday. Friday is, the salon is actually closed. We don't open on a Friday. Partially because I need a weekend day. Tracy does. It's that one day of the week where we don't have to think about head case and we can just chill out and relax. We could open 7 days a week, but none of our staff want to work on Fridays because we all want a bit of a weekend. One of the weekend days we are closed because staff is a priority and our mental health is a priority.
Yeah, and I kind of like that, because it was one of the things I've noticed here as well, is that salons start opening these crazy hours when we did come back. And it was saying, oh, well, I'll do my day, week's work in 3 days and we're going to open Sundays. And I kind of went, yeah, but from a salon owner's point of view, I just feel, I kind of like the idea of one day of the week where nobody's going to ring me to say such and such is gone, the water's gone cold, you know what I mean? And we're all off. And I've always said, no, to me, it's Sundays here. And I've always said to the team, no, as long as I'm in charge, we don't ever be open on Sundays. Yeah. Extra late nights, early mornings. Yeah, if you think you can get a client in at 7 in the morning, phone, work from 7. And I'll always be open to letting them, look, if you want to work, give me the hours you want to work.
Yeah.
And then put you to fill them hours.
Yeah.
Because I can't have you, you know, saying, I'll be in at 8, and then you've nobody in till 9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was just, we were all shocked when it came back here. It was just a big, everybody. And I was on, I don't know if you're familiar with Alan Austin Smith, are you?
Of course I am.
Right. Well, I was on an education, a free one that Alan done this morning. And that's what he was saying, is that, you know, a lot of salons he finds, they don't want to do the return the way we returned the first time. And that was pack everybody, get every client in and open 12 hours a day. And it's then 4 weeks later, we've no clients left because everybody's had their hair done. Spread it out. And I'm kind of going, I think it's, people are getting more used to the idea now, and we know how to handle the going back. And let's hope it's the last one.
when we were opened after the last, we were only, like I said to you earlier on, we were only actually locked down for 6 weeks, like incredibly lucky. But when we reopened, we had 6 weeks of backlog to get through, but we were only allowed to work at 30% capacity because of social distancing and all this sort of, you know, all that sort of thing. So we had no choice but to space it out, and it actually wasn't that stressful. I mean, it was like a bunch of golden labradors at the front door. Let me in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, right, we can manage this because we're not actually allowed to do any more than what we're doing. So it might be an idea if somebody actually brought in that rule, because it worked for us. It made life.
I think that's where we find as well, like, Air Salon would have been 7 stylists with capacity. You'd have 7 stylists on. So the weekend, you could have 18 clients in the salon.
Yeah.
And it just was mental in the confined space we had. And now you kind of go, now it's nice having that flow, but I don't want to have 2 or 3 stylists in, because I like, so what I've always said, 5, let's take it up. 5 in Air Salon is the magic number. Yeah. Let's get back to 5, because I really don't want walking with the same 2-3 people. I like that there's at least a few people around to create an atmosphere.
Yeah,
instead absolutely. Of it being, you know, you'd hear the, you know what I mean? You could hear the tumbleweed down, even though there's clients in, but you know, like
Like, as I said to somebody, it became that every day was like the Monday. So even Saturday, and I'm kind of going, well, I kind of like the little build-up of a week that you were working towards something.
Yeah.
But maybe not to the extent that we were with seven, but if we just have five on. So now I'm at the, in my head, five pilots on every day. You know what I mean? And we won't have sevens, but we'll just have fives, you know?
Right.
Perfect. Yeah, so that's it. So making an amazing salon, what I feel from what you've said there is it's allowing people to express themselves. And respect that they have, you know, their skill level. In other words, you're leaving them to do the job that they're qualified to do.
Absolutely. And we hired them because they're good at what they do.
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember somebody saying that to me about a salon owner once, and I would name no names, but they were saying he would come up to them when they were doing a client and say, that's not the way I would do that. Over the client's head.
Absolutely.
And I'm going, seriously? But if you looked, he was always advertising for stylists. Nobody could stick him, you know? And I'd always go, I want people to do it a different way because I might learn off them. They might have a technique that's better than mine. Everybody, you know? So looking back and we're talking about people that inspire you, we all have mentors. I've tons of them. Some of them are, like Alan would be one of mine. And that's why I made sure, even though I was tight for time this morning, I logged on for the last 15 minutes, but we're pre-recording this, so it's probably 2 weeks later. But I logged on at the end, and he went, oh, there's Greg. And I went, sorry, Alan, I hadn't got my camera on earlier. It's just that you were in my pocket, and I was going around. I was working in the salon getting stuff ready for our online business, but I didn't want to miss it. But now I'm back in the house, and I've put on for the last few minutes. And I'd love to get him on here again to do an interview as well, because as much as he might not own a salon, he's as much part of everybody's salon now in the last 20 years, hasn't he, you know? So I just
to be honest, he was going to be one of my people that I was going to talk to you about, because Peter Mark back in the day brought him to Dublin, and I was lucky enough to go on a 3-day seminar with him, and I'll never forget it. He just changed the way that I thought about what I do and really opened my eyes to what I can be. And I was just fresh off the boat in Peter Mark. I think I was probably in my, just about to qualify. And I just remember sitting back and thinking, you're right. Yeah. You're right. And like, it was just, and I remember I bought his book for everyone that I worked with. And I was like, this has just changed me, you know? So he definitely will be one of my.
Yeah. Alan's name has cropped up a few times now. And he definitely, like my statement to Alan once at an event was, hey, Alan, I don't know if you remember, maybe you changed my life. And he went, wow, that's some statement. And he hadn't even done the fantastic hairdresser. It was actually, it was myself, Carl Keaveney, Jackie Walpole, Liam Kennedy, I think Gary Kavanagh, all went to see Alan do it. And it was called Take Control at the time. Mm. And he was just, he just changed my whole mindset.
Life,
the whole lot. And I've gone on now, and I've always said there's so many other people doing what Alan does now, but I still think we'll all give Alan the credit for making us you know. Anybody else?
Hairdressing wise, I think I just kind of tend to, I wouldn't have like anyone that would really stick out a million thousand miles in my head, to be honest. Like I think I just take bits from everyone, you know? Now I'm going to be really disappointed and say, I wouldn't have Vidal Sassoon. Of course I look at Vidal Sassoon, amazing appreciation, like incredible. And I take little bits from him, and I take little bits from, you know, Patrick Cameron, and I do them in my way.
Yeah.
You know, these days I'm actually really impressed with the talent that's coming out of Ireland. Like Conor Doyle, Lee Quinn, Katrina Kelly, like, you know, Sarah Lyons. I don't know if you follow her. She'd be a bit of crack for you now, Greg. You'd love her. You know, but there is some incredible hairdresser actually coming out of Ireland. And it's funny that I'm here now as an Irish hairdresser in the Middle East, and I'm absolutely blown away by Irish hairdressing at home at the moment. I really am. Like, I can't quite get my head around it, because obviously there was a buzz in Ireland, and like Irish hairdressers were an exceptional breed. We are, like, I think we're known around the world for being really good at what we do, but I think now more than ever, they're shining internationally. Like, I know about them, and I watch them all, because I just think the Irish talent that's happening at the minute. And, like, obviously I'm involved with this global Wella page. I'm just a Wella girl through and through. So then I have Andrew Dunn, and so I'm involved with that, and I see everything that's coming out. Like, it's just insane what social media can do for someone like me these days. Like, I just see a little snippet of something that Conor Doyle did, or, you know, something that Andrew puts up, and I'm like, I'm gonna steal that.
And that was it. Like, years ago, we had to wait to hear, oh, such and such is coming to Ireland, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Buy the book, you know, and you know, and now it's instant. It's instant, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Conor is very much on the crest of a wave at the moment. Like, I there was four of our team on his blonde mapping last week.
I did blonde mapping from here.
Yeah, and you just kind of go, you know, 302 people on that.
Yeah.
Not all in Ireland, you know, a good lot of them are, but you kind of go, well, if 80% of them are in Ireland, God, could you imagine if Conor goes global, what he will get?
We booked him to come out here in October. So we booked him, and booked his flight and everything like that, and then obviously the world shut down. So.
And then I've interviewed Katrina as well here, and Katrina is the same, like, she's
in Manchester United.
And look, there's my Alexa, stop.
Tell
me about Man United. No, but Katrina, I said to Katrina, you were the first blogger that I, in other words, sitting in your car talking to your phone.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, wow, is that girl gone nuts? I love Katrina. Yeah. And now when I look at it, you were ahead of your time. She was ahead of her time. You know what I mean? She was out there talking about what she doing, what her day to day was. And I was going, are people interested in this? And bloody sure they were. But then I was older. You know what I mean? And I still have friends who are very successful salon owners that don't have a Facebook page and don't even have Instagram. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of going, whether you like it or love it, you have to be part of it. You have to know.
Get with the time.
Huh?
Get with the time.
Yeah, that's it. Or move on. You know what I mean? So now, the last year, 2020, what a year, huh? It shaped us all for the next decade, I think. You know what I mean? As I said to my wife one day, we're walking, if this is to be our World War II, when you look at the way people came out of war, people like the Roaring Twenties came out of the World War One. You know what I mean? The Boomers came out of the 50s, you know, after World War II. So this is ours. I'm excited about what's coming ahead. So, yeah, so I've got up every day. The days when it was really difficult here and we were wondering about our business, I start adopting the glass half full. So at the end of each day, have a look and say, what were the glass half full moments?
Yeah.
And I could have been in for 10 hours today, but I walked the beach for an hour and a half. And that was fantastic. Yeah. So what are a couple of glass half full moments you feel you learned from 2020?
I feel like just the bigger picture, I think, having kind of rode the coronavirus and kind of gone through everything that's happened, and very much so, like, we're four Irish hairdressers, one girl from the UK, and then we had seven Filipino girls at one stage. So we're multicultural, and we're, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that we've all gone through this together, and how watching the different people reaction, me personally, like, my personal growth this past year is just off the scale. I don't know, something kind of triggered in me when lockdown happened. I was like, I want more. I personally, not I'm not talking about the business. And I think that's kind of rippled through our salon as well, is that I find that people are kind of, we're all expats over here, so we've been away from home for a while now. Some of my assistants, God bless them, they have children in the Philippines. They haven't seen them for 2 years. And I think, like, the wake up and smell the roses moments have been very frequent. And, like, not sweating the small stuff is something I say, and it's in my nature not to sweat the small stuff. But I think now more than ever, I'm seeing that kind of ripple through people that look, if we've done this and we've been, and look what the rest of the world has gone through. It's like mental health wise, like I know mental health is a huge conversation that we're having now, but it's just to be there for each other and try and help each other. We all have our moments and we all have our wobbles, but you know, I think that the ability to look at the bigger picture is key at the moment, I think, for the last few months especially, you know, and just, yeah, just the incredible moments of togetherness, like, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose, as we say, that basically what you're saying is nothing is certain. There's nothing certain. And now that we know, we enjoy the moments now. So sometimes you probably forget, and that, like, I don't appreciate where, like, look at where you live. Look behind me. Half the time you probably just see grey steel and concrete, and you'd actually probably don't get out to the beach and walk it and say, wow, how lucky am I. Last week, the other week, I was on out in Holt Harbour with Paul Drumgool, and we were leaning over and we're looking around, looking at Ireland's eye, and you're looking at, and you're kind of, and I Paul said, it's amazing, isn't it? And I says, yeah, it is amazing, but it's taking you to be in a lockdown to appreciate a place where you live. And you actually look out and say, there's people would give their right arm to stand where you're standing now.
I'd be one of them, actually, like, Dubai is a vibrant, busy, bustling city. It is, but it's got no soul. It hasn't.
It does now. It has you. You're a soul sister.
You know, but Ireland has, you know, and I don't think I'll ever live in Ireland again, to be honest, now. I don't know. Never say never. But, yeah, I mean, my appreciation for Dubai has skyrocketed this year because of how they've handled this, and the fact that if I was in Ireland, my business would probably be gone by now.
Honestly, I'll tell you now, Alison, it wouldn't be, because you would be running the similar business in Ireland to the standard you're running it now. And I'm not a politically orientated person, but what the government put in place here has helped most salons stay open. If they were on a solid footing. If you were struggling beforehand coming into this, there's a good chance you were gone anyway. But I think, look, I'd have to give credit to the government here. They have done a lot. The fear that you have, and if you want to think, is that we don't know what we're coming back into when it all goes down. And that's where landlords, like the whole landlord thing now, is really left down to everybody to fight for themselves. In other words, depends on your landlord's situation. Could be the difference between you staying open in 6 months' time and closing. And that's the reality. But we can't necessarily blame the government because they put enough, you know. Alan Austin Smith pointed out a great thing, that the crazy thing about air industry is that if you look at anybody else, so what's your wage bill in another industry, say 35-40%. He says, but in hairdressing it's 60%. So when your business is closed, 60% of your overhead is gone. You know what I mean? So it is a different way, you know what I mean, to look and I think everybody has to look and say that it's independent of them. But I hope, even by us doing this and having this conversation, that these conversations go out will inspire somebody to put that extra little effort in to keep that door open. Because when doors close, as I say, it just pushes people into the wrong part of the industry, into a black market situation, or walking out of the boot of their car. You know what I mean?
I was doing that before I left Ireland. It was one of the main reasons why I left, to be honest. It was just a constant struggle financially to live in Dublin, and it was an expensive place to live. And I came over here for a year or two, you know.
Here you are, the queen of Dubai.
I'm the princess. Tracy's the queen.
Oh, yeah. So now we're on to our seventh question. All right. Is what would you like the future to hold for your business within the next 12 months? Where do you see, what would you like, you know, to happen for Headcase?
I'd like to employ another hairdresser. I'd like to grow our team by one more. Now, getting a stylist over here is quite difficult. I'd just like more growth. I'd like the team to be closer. Like, we're pretty close and we're a pretty tight-knit team. We're all sitting in the same room 10 hours a day. You know what I mean? Pretty much, like, we are tight. I love the feeling of like, I am your boss, but I work with you, yeah. You know? I like that. I like that about me and how I work. I'm very emotional. I'm an emotional, soppy git. So therefore, there's certain parts of my personality that work really well as a business owner, but then I take everything to heart and I take everything personally. Do you know what I mean? But as a business, I just like some growth. I'd like us to survive. Like, we are surviving. Actually, we're thriving, to be honest, considering what we've just all gone through, the amount of people that have left the country as well. Obviously, the aviation industry is a huge part of Dubai. And most of those are gone. Like, all the pilots got let go, all the cabin crew got let go. So that's a huge part of our clientele that's now gone out of the country. I'd just like to be a little bit busier. I don't want to be any busier now, aren't you? I'd like my staff to be a little bit busier, and I'd like to just,
from what what I see out of you, and where I would look, is that an area to me that's crying out, looking at it, is platform work, is putting your work out there. What you've learned, I've looked at your Instagram page and it is really good. There's some beautiful work there. And something that Mr. Dunn said, I think this car could be on for some platform work. So, you know, would be nice for people to
it's
be
laughing. It's definitely my dream. It's definitely a huge dream of mine personally. Like, I dipped into education before I left Ireland, and that was where I was the happiest. Now, I was still young and I had a lot to learn. I think as an educator, I am very good, quite frankly. and I definitely, that lights a fire in my stomach, you know, that kind of thing.
You want your extra stylist is to give you the opportunity to get up and do your work. And
actually, I think
us here and saying, Alison Keogh is going to be sending some work back your way, sign up for, and we'll be signing up for your course.
And I think that, that's kind of like, but I still just want, I just want to do hair for now. You know, I still love doing hair, and also the fact that I am a full-time hairdresser in the salon financially as well for the next year or so, I'm focused on that, and keeping us ticking over, keeping us nice and steady, you know. And obviously, I'd love to eventually, I'll definitely give Headcase 2 more years. I'm saying this out loud and Tracy will probably kill me now. I've said this to her as well. She's very aware of the fact that I'll probably do 2 more years and then I'll want something else. Because owning the salon and being a part of Headcase is an amazing, amazing experience, but it's not for me. I am too emotional for it. And I struggle a little bit just to kind of not to take everything on board as much as what I do. So from a personal point of view, for the next year, I definitely want to focus on being the best hairdresser I can be within the four walls of Headcase and continue that on. But I think I'm leaning towards being an educator more than I am a salon owner. You know what I mean? Like, I think I get more
emotional. You have a business partner. You have a great business partner. Be both. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it without her. And that's the God's honest truth, Greg. Like, she's just, she's a phenomenal girl. And she's straight down the line business. You know what I mean? There's no messing with our trace. She tells you how it is. But that's why we work so bloody well together, is that, like, she does want me to pursue my education. She definitely does. And I want her to, you know, have an easier life, but still do the paperwork. Yeah. You know?
That's me. I'm the paperwork guy in airs, but
get the boat. I'm not interested in it. Like, I'd rather jump off the Burj Khalifa now, honest to God. No, thanks. You know? So she's definitely the brains behind, I'm the beauty, but the brain behind the business. But yeah, I will definitely pursue the education, but for the next year or so, I think it's just a case of keep your head down, ass up, get the work done, get the hair done, and this time next year, hopefully we'll be in a better place to kind of move around and, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, has the vaccination program kicked in well there in Dubai?
Majorly. I think we're at about 30% now the population has been vaccinated. And they really are pushing it at the moment. Unfortunately, myself and Tracy tried to go and have the first dose of the vaccination. And it just seems to be a bit messy at the moment. So things haven't quite settled down to the point where you can just make your appointment and go and have it. It was kind of rock up and hopefully you'll get it kind of situation. But yeah, like, and anyone who hasn't had the vaccination, like there's a lot of people here, I don't know if it's the same in Ireland, but when it comes to the coronavirus, if you test positive and you're living in your family home or whatever, they just make the whole family isolate. So you don't know if that the other members of your family has the coronavirus or not, or they're asymptomatic or whatever. So the numbers that we're getting here are higher than the UK and Ireland, but it's also not a true reflection because there's a lot of people that had to isolate at home, they're not actually tested.
Yeah, well. Not bothering like, testing them. But I think everyone is getting to that stage now where they're kind of saying to people, because especially after what happened at Christmas, is that, look, if you think you're being around somebody, just isolate. Don't bother coming and getting a test now. Why? Because you can't handle it. You're struggling, you know? Yeah. And you know, I'm the vaccination's the only thing that's going to get us back to normal. And
it's the only thing, that's going to fix this. I'll fix great it.
Scientist last week, I was on with Imit Skilner, I had him, and he's, what's his name? This is Luke O'Neill. Have you ever followed him? He's an Irish guy. You'd like him because he's quirky. In another life, you'd have been there. He's a quirky guy. We're all quirky hairdressers, you know. But he's you know what I mean? He's very real, you know. Yeah. And he said, look, I seen something on Facebook the other day and somebody put up, Luke O'Neill says, we can see us all in the beer gardens by June. You know what I mean? He's an optimist, you know, and he feels that, you know, like once we get this vaccine program going, he said, at the moment, because there's four, but he says, take it that there's 40 companies out there making a vaccine. Yeah. And he says, new strains, take it that there's new strains all the time in anything. He said, and the newer vaccines will cover the new strains. So he said, take it from that. And that's why I'm clutching on to that, is that just roll out the vaccine, get it out there, get it in the system, get them pilots back up in the air, get the air hostesses back aboard. Why? Because my salon's in Castleknock. So we had a lot of staff that worked in the airport. And I live in Clare Hall here in Dublin, and a lot of my neighbours work in the airport. And you kind of go, wow, this whole area really depends on that airport getting up and running. And a lot of things do, you know. So listen, it's been fantastic, Alison. I knew it was going to be good. From the very first reply you came back to me, I went, this girl's going to be entertaining, and it's going to be, I'm going to enjoy it. And I really have. And I hope someday I get, not virtually in Dubai, but to be sitting in this Pad Thai restaurant, having a meal and a glass of Prosecco with you.
That's where you're sitting right now in the palace in downtown in Dubai. That's exactly, having a bit of a Thai.
Yeah. So I'll just have to get me, see if my Alison might cook us a bit outside. So I'm going to say cheers to Alison. You've been a breath of fresh air, and it's great to see you flying the flag for the industry over in Dubai and employing some good Irish hairdressers as well into the bargain over there. So say hi to Tracy for me.
I'd
like to meet her someday. You know,
Tracy.
Huh?
Tell her I love her.
Oh, yeah. And it's two beauties and two brains, because definitely a brain in that beautiful head of yours. That's just all beauty. You're able to think. You're well able for business, I'd say. And it would be a loss to the industry you've given up the salon. Now, what I'd encourage you to do is...
No, I won't. I'm not giving up the salon, but...
Yeah, but I would say is there's a place for you on education, and there's a place for you within the salon as well. So keep it going. So do you want to say goodbye to everybody back here in Ireland?
Sloan left, Ed.
You're like a Michael D there.
keep it real.
Cheers, Alison. See you all again soon.
Thank you for listening to our 7 at 7 archive interview with Alison Keogh of Headcase Hair Salon. If you've enjoyed the interviews, please like, share and subscribe to our channels and our pages. We look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to you giving us a 5-star review. So keep the faith and see you all again soon. Take care.